Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, science, and a few other various assorted areas of thought. The object of this show, in case you don't know, is to help people to think more about what I talk about and what anybody else decides to add in. It's all about trying to get people to think more. It isn't about spouting some kind of, we'll say, specific ideas that everybody should follow without thinking. Of course not. Of course not. So tonight I thought we would talk about spiritual festivals and spiritual energies. Now, that's a kind of unusual thought, an unusual series of thoughts, actually, because spiritual festivals and spiritual energies change based upon what people consider to be spiritual. And I'm going to discuss that in its entirety, as well as some of the other kind of quirky issues about this, and why there's some validity to this topic, especially tonight if you're familiar with the area that I have the most, we'll say, interest in, which is ageless wisdom, because the spiritual festivals are, we're right in the middle of them at the present time. For those people who know anything about them, that's great, and most people maybe don't, but we're right in the middle of them, and tomorrow is this festival that some people refer to as the Waysak, which may or may not mean anything to you. The important part about it is that it not only is in the middle of these specific kinds of festivals, but at the same time, for many people, it seems to evoke the greatest level of response in comparison to the other two spiritual festivals that are in the tradition of ageless wisdom. Now, remember, there are other kinds of spiritual festivals that are not necessarily in accord or directly the same, but many of them are, with these festivals that are recognized in ageless wisdom. Ageless wisdom is thought that has over thousands and thousands of years, and in repetition of its nature, has been an effector of, we'll say, changes in human beings, including the progeneration of religions and the general, we'll say, understandings that most people today believe are part of either their religion or some religion about God. But yet, ageless wisdom is not a religion. Okay. What is it? Well, it's thought. It's thought, spiritual thinking about God and about things that involve God's thought and the mind of God and many things like that. All right, so let me try to define what I mean by spiritual festivals and spiritual energy so we're all on the same page about this. Spiritual festivals are actually a time in which people usually both reflect and assert, or we'll say make affirmations, and at other parts of the festival may take actions. And so this is the thing about spiritual festivals is that they people usually think something is festive when everybody is sort of in a state of mind of, we'll say, seeking some kind of upward gaiety and mood enhancement and a means of being in oneness with others who have a similar kind of thought and feeling together. Many people believe that that's really what maybe festive and festivals are about. Actually, they have a more, we'll say, hidden or esoteric element to them. And that's what more of what I'm going to be aiming at tonight. So when we talk about spiritual festivals, we're really talking about as much this hidden or esoteric factor. And what is that esoteric factor? Well, the esoteric factor is when large groups of people think in a similar way about a similar series of time and space events, we'll call them, and a spiritual festival is at least an event, if not a series of events, tied together by time and space. When large numbers of people, relatively, think the same way, the spiritual energies that are about during that period of time are affected by the thought of those who are recognizing and in some ways participating within the spiritual festival. Okay, so that's way different than everybody sort of feeling good and enjoying the company of others and getting together for various reasons. And how come that's true? Where does that come from? Well, from one of the principles in ageless wisdom, which, again, this is now affecting every religion that has a festival, theoretically, would be affected by the same thing, right? And that is that energy follows thought greater than the energy's own thought is. So, wow, that's huge. Now, most people say, well, how does energy think? Well, it doesn't really think all that great. And the energy we're talking about here is mostly energy which is very elemental, very, very simplistic in its thinking. And that is, it wants to all get together and just get bigger and stronger. The energy wants to get bigger and stronger. And one of the results of some energies doing this, as a matter of fact, most energies doing this, is it produces gravity. Gravitas. Gravity, yeah. But, in that respect, gravity is not necessarily always beneficial to life or to the growth of God. So when humans, or anything that thinks, get together and they think in similar ways, then their thought, when it exceeds the total thought of the more elemental type of elementary types of energy that are going to be around during a specific period of time, which would be a festival, the festival energy is altered by the thought of those so thinking. Oh. That has some... Now we've kind of turned this whole thing upside down, haven't we? So the festival is affected by the people, not so much by the spiritual energies, which is the predominant viewpoint, by the way. And the spiritual energies are affected by the people because the festivals are about people getting together, and they are thinking in similar ways. Now, I'll give you some examples of this in a few minutes, but for right now, I'm just giving you the basics of what are the hidden and maybe more important and salient issues about spiritual festivals and spiritual energy. All right, so we've got a paradigm now. We've got an example of, in general form, of how this thing kind of works. It's more than what I just said, though. I'm kind of building this thing. Okay, what about the spiritual energies in the first place? I mean, are they kind of like just running around doing their own thing? Well, no, because spiritual energies are affected by kingdoms beyond the human kingdom. Now, that may surprise you, or maybe not, depending upon whether you're familiar with ancient wisdom. Yeah, there's kingdoms beyond human. The human kingdom is the first kingdom that is universally, but not absolutely true to the same level in each person, but is universally self-conscious, conscious of their, at least their lower, if not their higher self structure. And kingdoms below human do not generally have a very high level of self-consciousness. And so they don't recognize themselves as self. And they're more controlled by a thing called group consciousness. That's okay for, say, animals to be group conscious. It's fine. And they have a soul that recognizes group consciousness in most circumstances as being more important than self-consciousness. And we call those souls animal souls, and they have a method of promoting group consciousness we call instincts. Okay. Human beings have drives, but no formal instincts. What's an instinct? An instinct is a complex pattern of behavior, whereas a drive is a simplistic behavior. Animals have complex patterns of behavior. They may all represent a certain kind of dance when they get together to mate. They all do the same thing. You know, dance, and whatever. Now, some of them have some creativity expressed through the dance because they are gradually becoming a little more self-conscious, but not very much. And human beings generally do not have complex patterns of behavior. We have simple or simplistic drives, like we want to eat and sleep and drink water and that kind of stuff. But we don't have any known complex patterns. And so that's the difference, because the complexity of instinctual behavior is replaced with self-awareness. And so we take over that role on an individual basis. That's great for human beings. It's terrific. Do we lose the sense of group consciousness? No, we have it, and we can employ it, but only as we see fit on an individual level. And when we want to be part of a group-conscious situation, we can make that happen. And then, what is it that's beyond human? Okay, we define, well, humans are what they do. But what is it that's different than for those that are having some effect on these spiritual energies, which I'm going to explain, and are beyond human, and how far beyond human, that kind of thing. Well, their consciousness, you know, would be called by some as universal or super consciousness. They're superbly conscious. And what does that mean? They have consciousness of, well, first of all, let's start with awareness. They have awareness of the worlds that they live in simultaneous time and space, so which we don't. Most of you out there that are listening to me, you can recognize the fact that you do not have a ability to simultaneously be aware of and understand the astral realm and the monastic or mental realm, which we're actually part of right now. We're all existing in. But our awareness is so limited of those realms while we're physically alive that for all intents and purposes, it is cut off. Now, that is, you know, that's okay because that's what humans do. They don't have a unification of their senses in any one body, and they certainly do not have a unification of their senses in three or more bodies. Superhumans, the next kingdom, start off with that very thing. So they are simultaneously aware of no less than, in full context, three dimensions of time and space, and at least partially so in a fourth, which is called the intuitional or Buddhic dimension. So they have this thing called Buddhic consciousness, which we generally don't have, humans. Some humans are very, very few. Have significant levels of Buddha consciousness, which means they can actually use it at times to change energies if they choose to, although that's kind of not allowed until they are a member of the next kingdom. And we're not allowed in the sense that the physics doesn't support it on a regular basis, and if someone chooses to do it on a non-regular basis, they may be ostracized from having contact with the next kingdom, which is very important, actually, because humans have too many tainting issues with not being fully integrated. So even if they have Buddha consciousness, if they're not fully integrated, they can do some stupid or even dangerous things. So they have to control this. But at the same time, in terms of having to affect that energy, they may be controlling that, but while at the same time, their consciousness can grow enormously. And they can be much more conscious of many things than the rest of humanity, which allows them to teach, but it doesn't allow them to do the things that members of the next kingdom can choose to do and do so with great authority. One of them is to affect spiritual energies in, we'll say, profound ways. How do they affect them? Well, because energy follows thought greater than its own, their thinking is so powerful that a few of them can get together and change the direction of spiritual energies going to a whole bunch of different planets at the same time. In at least four or more dimensions, to some degree, and three fully. The fully would be, in this case, the mental, astral, and etheric physical. So these energies are then changed by the next kingdom or kingdoms, because there are different levels to which they can do this. And so we're not really talking about just one kingdom. We're just talking those beyond human. All right. So during the festivals, we have two simultaneous events, which brings together two groups of kingdoms. One is the human, which does have some effect on the animal and plant and mineral kingdoms in which they live if they're physically here. And then the higher kingdoms beyond human. And the way they interact is that the higher kingdoms of beyond human direct spiritual energies during each of the three festivals in unique ways for each specific planet that they are deciding to have a change in the way the spiritual energies are affecting. But remember, we're not talking about just any old energy. We're only talking about spiritual energies. Only the dark side tries to affect energies that are not spiritual, to try to force those energies, to create forces for other living things by a condition called power, a power that is dark, forceful, destructive. That you won't see that, any of that, happening with spiritual energies that are being affected by the next kingdoms, because that would be dark, and they won't choose to do that. Okay, so they will not do that. But they do affect the spiritual energies, and those energies are the energies that are godly. Spirit means God's thought. So those energies are very responsible to the thought of God. They choose to affect only those energies that respond to, in some ways, differences in the thought of God. And they change the way that they are expressing that thought each year during three festivals, if you're into ancient wisdom. And when they change it, they do so to challenge humanity. They don't do so to force or entice or restrict or incriminate or any of those things to humanity. They only do it to be of service so that humans will be challenged to move in a direction that will be coincident in the service that the next kingdom is attempting to achieve. Humans can collectively get together and decide to do something good about this, or they can choose to do the opposite. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's maybe not going to be very encouraging. But during the last 30 or 40 years, the festivals have been contaminated, mostly by thought. And I'm talking about the festivals are recognized by people who follow Agent's wisdom, mostly by thought that has been very astral and has moved away from spiritual energies into energies involving astral feelings and the desire for, we'll say, recognition of importance and a lot of other negative things. So it's kind of like these vessels, which are really very important, have been usurped by a number of folks who claim they are celebrating spiritual festivals or recognizing them or whatever they can do. But more often than not, the unfortunate means that they have employed have been counterproductive, making the festivals pretty much useless. Now, I don't like saying this. I mean, I would really prefer to be on board, so to speak, and talk about this in a very positive way, and how we're all going to be tremendously benefited by the fact that there's at least some people paying attention to these festivals. But, you know, it doesn't help if the motives are wrong and the operation of those behaviors and thoughts are wrong, then the spiritual energies don't respond to any kind of selfish interest. And the festivals do not provide a benefit, and the challenge is lost. So the challenge to become more spiritual and more of service does not move ahead. And that is not a, that's not a very good outcome. I mean, I'll just tell you right now that it's a frightening kind of result, one which I reluctantly tell you about. And now, that doesn't mean, and I don't want you to think it does, that the great beings who are trying, they're just members of other kingdoms higher than human, but they have ceased to try to get these spiritual energies to be recognized for what they are and get people to respond in ways that are less self-focused. But it does mean this, that each year the other side, they themselves are challenged to try to find some way to get humanity to be back on track, at least the people who are supposedly know about this stuff. Again, knowledge does not mean that you're conscious. So that's a tough time. It's a very tough time. And for these reasons, there have been times when I have just, you know, given up on trying to deal with the amount of negativity that comes from people's self-focus and wrong focus about these times of year. It's a kind of like a negative thing, even to try to do something about it, because, if the kingdoms beyond human can't change it, it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to do a heck of a lot on an individual basis. Now, as you know, if you can get enough people together to do this, it's great. But the best way to do it is with thousands or more of people, not a few people, or your next door neighbors or your friends in your group or whatever it is. That may be totally ineffectual in the light of the present problem. Okay, we'll deal more with that in our practical sides later in the show, but and I don't want to get everybody kind of like negative, because there's a lot of positive things about these spiritual festivals, but we need to look at the reality of the situation. And you might say, well, how in the heck did that happen? Like, what happened 40, 50 years ago, or whatever, that produced this kind of nutty thing? Well, what happened was the process that people had available to themselves to participate in festivals was hijacked by folks who were more interested in astral issues and in their feeling side and how, in what ways they look to others, rather than into what it's about, which is about God. God got lost, I guess, is the one way to look at it. And there are maybe other ways of looking at it. And the next kingdom, or kingdoms, that were being of assistance were also lost. In other words, people weren't thinking about those things. And since energy follows thought that is greater than its thought, then, whoa, bad things start to take place. So we need to kind of regroup and be on board about what this is about and how we can better attain the results that seemingly could be attained hundreds of years ago and before that. Part of the problem also is a thing called the sixth ray. It's not in focus. It hasn't been since about the turn of the last century. And this ray gives people the impetus on an astral level to focus on God. And it tends to promote more religious sentiment in people. And when it isn't in focus, people's sentiment about things like that become artificial and external rather than internal. So God becomes externalized. God is doing these 10 things or saying this particular invocation. It loses some of its deeper meanings to some people. The spiritual festivals all fall into this genre of misappropriation and misuse of our thought. Because it's all about thought and it's about this. Feelings play part of that because feelings are the thought, are the sense that causes the thought of the astral body, which is created from imagination. So if you don't have feeling, well, then you may lose that too. So thought is part of that system. Okay, so then what is it the next kingdoms are doing to try to get these spiritual energies to kind of challenge us in ways that will get us to think more spiritually and about God rather than about some activity we're going to share on a festival with somebody else or whatever, and whether everybody brings their share of food or whatever. What is it that they are trying to do during these periods so that all of us can get a better handle on this thing? Well, I'll tell you what I know about it. And again, this may not be everything, but it gives you some ideas to think about. And I don't think most of you do know this. So it might be helpful for me to reveal whatever I can to be of some assistance. Like I'm going to take this year because every year it changes. So what I tell you about this year, please do not assume that it will be redundantly applied next year. As a matter of fact, it's almost a certainty some elements will not be applied for next year. Okay? All right, we're on the same page then, if you understand. All right, some of the things that are at present needed on the planet is the awareness and awareness with limited or no fear of evil. Okay, so that's in today's recipe of the energies. Awareness with limited or no fear of awareness of evil here on Earth, here in this world. That's one of the focused parts of the energies that are coming into the planet at the present time. And I will tell you that this focus is relatively unique and new. So it wasn't done last year, as an example. And it hasn't been done very often into very much amounts during my entire lifetime. I'm 64. So you can use that as a barometer. Okay, so, and it hasn't been done as strongly as it's being done now, certainly during that period of time. All right, so why is that such a big deal? Why would all of a sudden, you know, some beings and other planets and other solar systems decide, well, I think it's time we maybe make these people wake up a little bit about evil, you know. Maybe they'll get the message, you know. Why is that so important? Well, the thing that evil uses the most to guard itself and to grow from is the unawareness of the human kingdom, the human kingdom's understanding of, belief in, awareness of evil. So they depend upon that. If humans have consciousness or understanding of and awareness of, which means they can sense evil, and if they can do so without being excessively afraid of the consequences of that awareness, and irrational to the point where they just want to run and hide or do crazy things, not going to be much help to them, then evil is, we'll say, removed. What is removed from evil is its major weapon. It's that single element that gives evil the strongest ability to grow. Now, you know, and I guess some of you are going to be saying, well, right now I would. Well, heck, 64 years and they haven't done this to any great extent, minor little things here and there. Why not? And I'm going to tell you why not right now. Because when they did do it, which was before, again, I was born in the beginning of 48, when they did do it, they created the counter to that issue, and that was that evil was everywhere. I'm going to get very specific now and tell you what they did so that you understand it. Evil was everywhere, and it was ubiquitous to the point and strong to the point that there was virtually nothing that could defeat it. Okay, and when did this happen? Okay, when did this happen? Well, this happened, it started in the late 20s, after a special meeting in the mid-20s by Deep Beings, to try to bring to a consciousness several movements. They were the movements of, we'll call it, extreme ideologies, which included progressive movement, socialism, those two kind of joined together, fascism, and the biggest one was communism. Those movements became, we'll say, exposed for evil. And as a counter to exposing those, so were the hallmark, we'll say, issues that had been exposed 50 years earlier about capitalism, but they reiterated. So now all of a sudden, they had all these isms, capitalism, communism, this is, that is, okay, all exposed about what was evil in those ideologies. You might say, what's so wrong with that? I mean, each one of them has some kind of dark side and maybe an evil. Well, the problem is that when evil is exposed, its only other defense, I shouldn't say only, but its main other defense is to get everybody to think that it's everywhere instead of it's nowhere. Like, one minute, nobody believes in it. People who are evil just had bad childhoods and were brought up in terrible ways by their parents, and society is to blame besides, and they're just good people who need a lot of love and hugs. You go from that position to these people are so evil that they're everywhere. There's zillions of them. You can't stop them. You can't stop the capitalists from monopolistically taking over everything. You can't stop the socialists from taking over governments and taking freedoms away from people, along with the progressives who think that they know everything to do that. And you can't stop the fascists because they use power and control in ways that have never been used before to forcibly disable their people by also employing socialism with their fascism. And then you can't stop the communists because they're everywhere. And those communists are going to supplant the entire world, because after all, you just read, you know, Marx and Engels, and it's pretty clear what they're about. And anyway, And before long, everybody is thinking everybody else is evil and doing these terrible things. And it was from that countermeasure and that we ended up with people factions. And with the use of propaganda, each faction tried to win the hearts and minds of people towards their darkness. Well, okay. All that took place soon after this change in the spiritual senses. And it didn't work too good. Yeah, I have to tell you, it didn't, you know, these challenges don't always end up with us winning the challenge, or so to speak. And it turned into very bad things. Now, a lot of people think that World War One and World War Two were just extensions. World War One was about people wanting to break away from the old ways and wanting to have effectively modern government in the face of dictatorial issues and monarchies. Many people were looking at the United States as an example of what could be done. But World War Two was about evil, plain and simple. And, you know, there was evil, obviously, in World War One, but it wasn't the same kind of things. It was evil that was unseen. And the evil in World War Two were the evils that were seen, but people were afraid of. Again, caused by changes in the spiritual festivals. Hard to understand this stuff, because people say, well, if this kingdom, these kingdoms beyond human are so great, if they are so wonderful, what the heck are they mucking around with our thought processes, or challenging them anyway, to the point where we're creating disasters? And it's something to think about. We will do that and a lot more. In about 2.5 minutes, give or take, from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's hidden meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about spiritual festivals and spiritual energies in a way that probably I've never done before, and maybe revealing some things that I haven't talked about before. I think that I am. Okay, so let's continue on with some of these questions that I think come to mind right away. It's how come you upset the apple cart if you're going to challenge people that really are not going to make the challenge? Well, here's the point. There's a challenge means there's free will, not that you're going to do something and force someone to change. So it's been the free will of human beings all along to react somewhat badly to some of these challenges. And as I said, this year the challenge is about being aware of and understanding of evil and doing something about it, maybe. And every time this comes up, which is rare, because this is, because you've got this other side that can lead to the downright paranoia that evil is everywhere. Eventually, to continue on with what I was explaining earlier in my explanations that about how evil has been dealt with during the last 100 years or so, then it eventually turned into. In especially the United States, which has a fixed-rate kind of personal nature to itself, that people became extremely factioned about communism. And the people were either communists, quote-unquote, or the vast majority were anti-communists, but to an extreme level. And this, again, is because of this result that can happen with evil, that you either don't see it, don't understand it, you know, don't want to know anything about it, or you get over-obsessed, and the next thing you know, it's everywhere, and everybody may be a communist because they went to a meeting or read some book or said some off comment or whatever. And then you have un-American committees, and you have senators who are halfway to paranoia. I mean, you know, that's the problem. And we could be facing that this year. You should be aware of what I'm saying, because these energies right now are affecting our consciousness. Last month, they affected our will to some extent. And I didn't do this program last month. Why am I doing it now? Because when it affects your consciousness, it may alter your understanding and upset the balance that some people have. So the object here is to not become excessively afraid, because what causes these extremisms is fear. If you don't get afraid because you're aware of and you understand evil, then you're not going to have these kinds of extreme reactions of seeing evil in places where it really doesn't exist and exaggerating it where it might. So that's kind of the basis for what I'm discussing, at least at this part of the show. So looking at this from another standpoint, the next kingdoms would like it if humans became aware of and understood evil so that they could choose to eliminate it from the areas that evil has infiltrated, which are areas dealing with things called first-ray factors and other places. Evil likes the first-ray because it gets humans to destroy each other and to destroy life when it is working against us. And the next kingdom is trying to get us to the point where we become constructive in its use and only destroy the very most evil things and not go after things that are pitifully weak or not evil at all. This is where it gets, because then that destroys freedom. You see, when people react too far against what they perceive as evil, they actually become anti-freedom. And they allow evil then to further take over. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. Most dictators come in by expounding the need to get rid of some made-up evil when they are the evil themselves. Be aware of that. We may see things like that this year. Also, be aware of this. When you have a balance about all this inside of yourself, you're not going to become afraid. You're going to become, we'll say, emboldened to take steps to prevent others from reacting badly and to eclipse or remove the evil's ability to do harm. We all have that capacity, if we choose, in the challenge of the festivals, and this one coming up, which we're in right now, by the way, it's peaking tomorrow. But there's like 2.5 days before, 2.5 days after. So it's kind of like it's all coming together right now. And this is one of the points that is being fed to us. Usually there are three areas. Now, this isn't absolute written in stone. I'm going to reveal something else that I think I know. There's usually three areas that each year are focused on as spiritual energies to try to challenge human beings. I just disclosed one of them, and there's a couple more. So let's move on to those couple more, and then we'll talk about some practical issues. Now, today's show I'm going to have probably have to, because there's so much to explain about this, and I've reluctantly done this show because I this should really be done in two parts, but we're going to try to get it done in one because tomorrow there is the Waysock Festival, and I thought it would be a good idea to try to get it all done tonight. All right, so let's move into the second area, we'll say, where this, the first thing was evil. We're going to try to get challenge the human folk on Earth, remember this deals with Earth, to become more aware of evil and to try to hopefully do something right about it, we'll say. What's the next thing that is the, we'll say, the energy change that is focused on to challenge human things? And that means that we have to think about this thought. And that is to be able to determine the difference in forces between needed force and excessive force. Okay, let me explain this concept, and that is, this has been used before, but not very often again, when war is looming, okay? When war is looming, and what is the focus of the next kingdom's expression for it? To try to titrate, that's kind of a scientific term, try to get close to the right amount of force that is needed to offset a much worse force, which will be used for evil, because sometimes you have to use force against evil. And this comes in accord with being able to recognize evil now. But you got to know how much force to use and in what ways. And when. Time becomes a critical factor. So right now, we're trying, this is the period of understanding. This is the festival of understanding or consciousness. The real one came first. This one is coming second. And this festival is to attempt to get various actors as countries, most likely, to recognize what forces need to be employed in the very near future, most likely, certainly within this year, but probably closer than we think, and to what level those forces need to be used to accomplish the goal of disabling the forces of darkness and evil. Now, darkness is different than evil. Darkness is people who could become evil but aren't there. Evil wants to destroy God. Darkness usually wants to get things and to be in control more, but isn't necessarily out to destroy God, but they join together. And so it's hard to separate their motives. All right. So now we need to be judiciously gaining in understanding the level of required force. Generally speaking, at this particular point, it's always too little than too much. But, I mean, traditionally. I'm not saying it's going to be true this time. And it could go too much. I mean, there could be a greater force that's not needed. But usually it's too little, too late. Remember, time, I said, is a very big issue. And you don't want to do too little, too late when this challenge is put before you, because if you do, you run the risk of being overpowered by the forces of darkness and evil and potentially destroyed. For those of you who are thinking about this at this time, this would include countries like Israel, the United States, which pathetically probably will not be of much help, and probably two or three other countries in Europe. I don't want to say anything about that right now. So here is the point. Here is the point. We are looking at a situation in which there is virtually imminent war going to take place. Many people are choosing to ignore that, or hoping that it won't happen. Those people are not part of the challenge. The people who are part of the challenge recognize that war is either going to ensue or want war to ensue, and in either case, they have a challenge in their mind at this time, particularly right now, and particularly tomorrow. So the issues here then become how much force. And remember that even if it involves Israel and Iran, etc., it is not about them specifically, because these energies and these festivals are going to be affected by everybody who is using the festival right now as a means for what it was supposed to be, to preserve and develop greater awareness and consciousness of God. Remember, that's the bottom line of what the festival is about. So, if you think about it, then what will do that the most? Would the best be achieved if the Iranians, within the next 12 to 16, 18 months, develop nuclear weapons with missile delivery systems and then do what they say they're going to do, which this is not a conjecture, this is a statement, this comes from their own statements, to wipe Israel off the face of the map and to kill all of the people, the citizens of Israel. Now, the question becomes, is that godly? And I argue, no, it's evil. But then the issue becomes further, how do you deal with that? Do you obliterate Iran? Because at the present moment, I think that the Israelis could do that. I don't think they will, but they could. I mean, that's the extreme measure. Would that solve the problem of the world becoming more godly to wipe out millions of people or something? No, I don't see that as a way to God. But maybe some folks do. But the thing is, how much force, remember, it's about how much force do you need to disable the force abilities of evil. And I think the answer is enough to prevent an Iranian, I'm going to say this just blatantly out there, an Iranian nuclear capability for the next decade, 10 years from now. Hopefully sometime into the early to mid-20s. Why do I say that? I'm giving you my opinion, but why do I say that? I'm saying that because I think within that period of time, depending upon whether countries like the United States are going to finally help the Iranian people, 60% or more, who want freedom from their present form of government, to uprise and to take over and do something like that. And it could be encouraged by getting rid of some of the goons, 100,000 or more people, that are presently part of that population but are evil and are seeking to control the remaining population with clubs and guns. And they ride around with motor scooters, some of them. I mean, there's actually an army, a shadow army, that is not officially their army, that is the army of the government that holds the will of the people at bay and forces them to be enslaved, effectively, under their dictates. So I think they need that. I think they need a good 10 to 15 years of time, maybe 10, 12 years of time, to achieve this goal. And we're talking about a country that has, you should be aware of this, a distinctly fourth-rate issue going on. And as the fourth-rate strengthens, they will get stronger, and they will be the people who seek God will get stronger. It will turn out, I think, for the better. And for those of you who do not agree with me, that's okay. I mean, that's there's no need to absolutely say, oh, that guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah. That's fine. You might think I'm nuts. That's all right. I'm just making some suggestions here and some thoughts. And so this is a time when we can maybe think more about this, each of us as individuals. If enough people come together and think in similar ways, that will give us the best results. Similar ways may be my way, but I don't know. I'm proposing this as an idea, but it may not be the best way. And that's just about one issue, because there are other factors involved in this. Don't think it's just an Israeli and Iranian issue. This deals with North Korea, China, and even at the present time, what we recognize still as being Russia, but it's moving rapidly back towards its old Soviet Union goals. So we need to be concerned about these factors. And it isn't any longer about just communism, per se, or one ideology, because we have radical Islamic thought. We have different forms of communistic use and abuse, we'll say. Most of it's just a front for dictatorial desires by evil. But some of it's playing out differently, obviously, in Red China than it is in North Korea. And so you see these old ideas not exactly explaining the present time, in some cases being antithetical to what is in the present. At any rate, okay, so that's the second part of the thought that is having an effect on spiritual energies at this time. I've never revealed any of this before. I've known about it for some time now, but I've always backed off from doing this, because this is, again, there's a lot of potential downsides for these things. Okay, what's the third thing? There is a third thing, that because they usually do this in three things. And the third thing, this is going to be a little hard to understand. But the third thing is to live in ways that are more individually self-sufficient, but eventually become a unified, we'll say, society. Individual self-sufficiency with unification of society falling away on that. If you don't understand it, you might want to read Ayn Rand. She was a sort of philosopher who also was in Ageless Wisdom, but didn't say very much about that. And has unfortunately been greatly misunderstood. But the greatest thing here is, what does it mean to be individually self-sufficient, and yet at the same time seeking a kind of almost community of strength within self-sufficiency? It means this, that humanity has reached a point where the polarization of individuality and group consciousness have become intolerable. You can't have the two continuously battling each other without recognizing this is not going to achieve any good results. In some ways, it's the Democrats versus the Republicans, but not completely. Especially, though, at this time, it is more that than it has been a long time, because the Democrats have really, really started to become group, we'll call it, group not recognizers, but not group conscious. So it's weird. And the Republicans have become individual recognizers, but not individual, at least spiritual consciousness. So you got this weird kind of stuff going on. I mean, that's true in the United States. For those of you listening outside of here, you may not be as aware of what I'm saying as those in the United States may think. But nonetheless, this kind of problem is part of the other two. And it has to do with the arrogance, and I'll call it egotism, arrogance of the human race as it presently is, and especially in more advanced countries like the United States, but certainly the European Union, many of those countries and other places. Why is this the case? Well, because both sides are using a high degree of intellectualization to support their ideations instead of consciousness itself. This, right now, is the Waysack Festival of Consciousness. So this is a real prime thing that's coming in now. And what does it mean? These words may not be ringing true to you because you don't know what it means. So I'll try to define it for you. Individual consciousness and its superiority in a human sense, excuse me, is to a large extent creativity. So when I'm using that, I'm talking about two things: creativity and the freedom to express it. A person may have a large amount of creativity, but very little freedom to express it. Now remember, all of this has to be spiritual, so it's got to go towards creating more of God, if it's part of a festival. A lot of people use their freedom to be creative to not grow more of God, but to grow more of them. Souls in a lower sense of self. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about growing yourself as a higher self so that you help to grow all people more, help to free more people, help more people to be creative altogether at the same time. All right? On page with that, got that, hold that thought. Let's add the other part of it. Okay. The other part of it is being group conscious. All right. in a non-God way, group consciousness is talking about people redistributing wealth, being fair, making everyone the same, dictatorial rule, forcing people to no longer be able to be free or creative, but to be the same. And reducing people into unhuman or non-human categories, like this is a group of people over 70, they should only have to live another 10 years. Let's not pay for this or that health care. That's an example. It's a waste. They're not going to help society in general. It's not fair to the younger people. It's not. I can go on and on. It gets obnoxious after a while. Okay, so where does all that stuff come from? Well, it comes from people who believe they know better, are smarter, are more able, are more convincing, are more resolved to force others to be what they want. Generally, they're narcissistic. And they also may be sociopathic as well. But the most important thing is it started with egotism and arrogance in some lifetime, maybe not this one, but it carries on. So even if they're sociopaths, they're extremely arrogant. All right, it goes, so that's the wrong side of group consciousness. What's the right side? Okay, how do you blend these two together? Where's the right side? The right side of group consciousness is let's all get together to work together to grow our and everybody else's freedom and creativity while we improve everyone else's understanding of how and why and what they're doing. So they are not just wildly being creative and free. Hey, everybody can be creative and free, but you could just create a lot of garbage. But they are doing so because they understand themselves, not because they're told or forced or the rules say or the government says, or the government will take all your money and do it for you, or whatever. And not because it's fair, because nothing is fair when you remove people's freedom and creativity. There's no fairness there. All you're doing is making people enslaved. Okay, so you join these two together, and you end up with a wondrous new world. I mean, this whole consciousness, if it were to become part of everybody's consciousness, or most people's, we would eliminate most evil, we would eliminate most dictatorial governments, we would become free people, free loving people, who also support all others. And there's no such thing as someone being free and someone not being free. That would be the antithesis of freedom. Because we would see freedom as something that is universal, not as something we just got, and we'll keep it, thank you very much. Now, that's an interesting change. And that's the energy that is the third energy, and the most important, because this is the energy that deals with the consciousness issue right now. I kind of skipped around a little bit on the order of these things deliberately, because I want you to see that right now, this is the appropriate moment for this energy to maybe make a change or a difference in all of our lives. And I'm hoping that it will. If it doesn't, and if this really fails, and this whole thing fails, like all three parts of it, we could have a hell of a bad time the rest of this year, leading in through next year. I mean, it could really be hell. Now you could say, well, what's the spiritual hierarchy, those masters guys, the next kingdoms, what are they going to do about all this? They can't do anything except what they are doing. If you don't invoke their thought into yours, to affect the spiritual energies they are already affecting, there's nothing that's going to happen. This is a tough one, and I don't mean to be, again, downtrodden about it. I'm just being open and frank about it. I have all the hope that we will succeed through these three challenges and make a huge gain, a huge and important change in this world. Now, the predictions are that we're going to fail and that this year will produce some really bad things. That then, for the next 50 years, we may be fighting our way out of 25 to 50 or more over these issues and more. Who's predicting that? Well, let's just say I think I know of some sources that might be. Let's hope that we will do better, and let's each do better by learning from tonight's program and from other things. And if you don't get it all, you can contact me. Heck, I am available. Especially if there's a group of you out there that wants to talk about this together, I would love to do that. I'll do it individually. It's just a slower process. But I'll do whatever it takes to try to get people to understand what I'm saying tonight. Because this is a big ball game we're playing. This is the major leagues, folks. And you say, oh, well, it's that 2012 stuff. No, it's not exactly 2012 stuff. It's just us. And because others can predict how we're going to behave, well, just think about it. Let's say you were watching a bunch of mice, and they were building their own little hubble place, or, you know, to live in, et cetera. But they're still in a major cage if they created for themselves. Could you not figure out how they're going to likely behave? I mean, that's, you know, we've got to look at consciousness as being something that's a real tangible thing, and ours is relatively low, others are very great. The very great ones are trying to help us. They can't force us. As a matter of fact, they can't even teach us unless we could be aware of them. And our own senses don't allow that for the most part, for most people. All right. So hopefully we've got these three things I just talked about put together. If you can put them together for yourself, they're big concepts, a lot of talk. The bigger part of the show was more conceptual today because to cover all this really is about a two-week process. So instead, I'm kind of short-circuiting it, bringing it all together, and get it all done. Now, all right, what's coming tomorrow? What is this thing? It's called the WASOC. We already know it's the energy to help expand our consciousness about God and about spiritual things. Understand consciousness is realize consciousness is understanding. And so what we're really talking about is we're getting a greater understanding if we choose to participate. If we choose to not participate, it is nothing. Nothing happens. You don't get any hate mail or, you know, terrible things are going to happen to you. But you're not helping the system. You're not working with the greater consciousness beings are just no longer part of your reality. And, of course, you won't likely see evil as well, and you won't know how to deal with forces very well in your life and other people's lives. You won't know how to think about and direct helpful forces in critical country situations. And you finally won't be able to create as well and be free in your creation. And you may become a puppet to a bunch of people who run things right now, who want to take away your freedom. All right, those are the bad sides of things, but there's nobody stopping that from happening for you if you're going to choose to go that way. What if you choose to spend the next day invocating these spiritual energies that are going to help us deal with these three specific things this year, Remember, every year they're going to be different. I am not talking about next year. I don't want to hear from you and say, well, next year I can... Now, next year will be a separate day. Some of them could be replicated, but it may be totally different. Just be aware of that. And no, I haven't said this before. I choose when I say things for various reasons. Okay, so, getting to the point. This is a time to invocate the thought, and therefore the energies, of the kingdoms beyond us. I already told you what the themes of those are, so you can focus on them if you choose. You can focus on something else, but it may not be as effective because this is what I'm suggesting. But you don't have to believe me, and if you want to choose something else, you know, that's your choice. It's all right. Well, I understand. And when you invocate, invocation is the process of first aligning thought, not affecting energies. So whatever invocations you do, including some people call it the great invocation, whatever ones you do, you are trying to align your thought with the great beings beyond us and with others of similar thinking who are humans on Earth. That's what you're trying to do. Be aware that that is the instrument. It isn't like going to immediately change spiritual energies. It will have an effect on them over time. Time may be months or longer. But its effect will be first on thought. Okay? Why is it so important then to maintain your thought in directions as I'm suggesting? I'm giving you maybe help. You can try it. My suggestion is to think about the three things during whatever invocation you choose, or invocations, and to allow your thoughts to connect with the things that I talked about tonight so that you can see if it's effective for you. How do you know if it will be effective? You will notice the next day, even the next hour, an improvement in consciousness. Consciousness is understanding. Understanding means you will be able to connect together the dots. Not you will have suddenly become more knowledgeable. You will just be able to use the knowledge you have in ways that you haven't been able to use for the most part before. So that's your yardstick. What other things can you do besides invocation? Well, since this is not an active period yet, that's the third festival, this is a period of preparation. You should plan for the changes that you need to make in your life and help others to do the same, don't just do it for yourself, about all the lifestyle issues that you need to change, all the things you need to change, in preparation for these three things that may be changing the world around you, and if not, are going to at least change in your own life and the lives that you're close, of those you're close with, and are in communication. You should also share this information. That's another step in the process. Share with people about what I'm teaching tonight. If you can, say, hey, go listen to this guy. Maybe you never heard him before, but he's saying some things that might be somewhat helpful. And see what you think. Communicate. Discuss. Maybe even argue. Everybody say, well, that guy's a crazy loon. I don't think he's saying anything. Well, it's okay. At least they're involved, you see. That's probably better than not. And finally, what you can do in general, we're talking about the festival now, is to be aware that tomorrow's festival is a little bit different from some other ones in your life. It involves an eclipse of the moon. What does that mean? Well, the moon's in full during each of the three festivals that are in, again, dealing with ageless wisdom. There are many religions that follow ageless wisdom, so this isn't just about ageless wisdom. And it's in a full moon, but for, unlike a blue moon, which is an extra moon, which changes the emphasis of the moon, when the moon goes dark for a couple hours, it actually gradually waxes and wanes. The process is that it opens your consciousness if you are, because of the changing. So the energies just being intense, you get the waxing and waning, which allows you to sense better the energies that the other kingdoms are putting out. So that gives you that better opportunity, a little bit more opportunity, because the moon's going to do that. It will allow you a little more to notice the difference, because your awareness kicks in. When there's change, there's more awareness. When it's constant, it's hard to notice. Okay? So you're going to get the change tomorrow, and that's a good thing. But it doesn't mean that it's just going to be some kind of magical event. It's only going to be, oh, I'm going to be a new human being. No. I'm just talking about in general. You know, and even if it didn't take place like that, even if it wasn't going to be, you know, it's just a small thing. The big thing, you know, is to be aware of everything I'm saying tonight. So this is just a little added extra part. Something else to be aware of the festivals for this year in general is that because there has been such a lack of integrity in the celebration, so to speak, of the spiritual festivals in the last half century, that right now those who really do want to experience God more and to support God by being free and creative with them, those that are doing it are starting to become more aware of each other because they're so few. I know that makes no sense. Maybe. But, again, when you limit down to a very small fraction of what used to be, our senses are such, human senses are such, that they tend to start taking notice more. Isn't that strange, how strange we are? Yeah, we are, and this is not because of anything special about this particular festival. It's just been so long that this has not been working, that we actually are gaining more sensitivity when we do it right, which is another good thing about the present issues with the spiritual festivals. Okay, now let's talk about the spiritual energies coming in. Let's assume some of you out there are going to try this and you're going to say, hey, you know, that guy's not completely crazy. It's really working. Okay. Now, remember, there's a third festival. The spiritual energies are going to come in closer. They will be needed and used in the next 9 months after the third festival. And during that time, there's going to be great changes, more changes than we may have seen in a long time, if this all comes together. And those changes can all be very positive, I'm hoping. Could they be very negative? Yeah, they could be. I'm not saying that they won't be. I'm just saying I'm going with the positive. So what do you do in the third festival to deal with this? Because that's coming up. Well, if you didn't deal with the first festival, that means your will has not specifically changed very much. And you're likely to not have gone back in time and looked at the things that you did wrong over the last year. That would have been the first festival. And see what you need to correct so that you're more on track. You make choices consistently will that are all in the direction of God. Try to do that anyway, remembering that that's what you would have done if you had done it in the last festival. And if you celebrate the last festival and you didn't do that, you made that mistake. So you can do it now, too. That's what that festival was supposed to be about. I know you might have been going to parties or dances or all kinds of things that have nothing to do with what I just said are being done. That's the problem. Okay, you may have done that. Don't go banging your head against the wall because you did it. Just say, okay, I did it. So I didn't hear your show. I didn't hear the prior shows you did on this years ago. So I don't know. I didn't know. Now I know. Okay, fine. Take care of it. Choices have to be consistent more. It gets to be more consistent by reflecting on the past and recognizing where you didn't do that. So you correct it. Okay. Now, the next festival in Gemini, it's a month ago, is a festival that is about the energies that you brought in. Okay, you got them in. They're there. Okay, what am I going to do with these energies? Energies are there to cause movement, to take action, to have interaction. That's what you're supposed to do with it. And the energies are about the three things I talked about. That's, in my opinion, those are going to be what the energies are about. You need to take action to support the three, to support people recognizing, understanding evil. You need to talk out about it. You need to let other people know that you can see it finally and you're not afraid. Not afraid. Remember that? If you are afraid, you can call me, email me if you want, me, or you can read some stuff. There's ways to get over fear. Lots of ways. But you do have to become relatively fearless or the spiritual energies will be wasted. And they become retained energies and may cause illness as well. Don't want that. All right. So what else can you do? Well, communicate. Let people know as much as possible during the rest of this year the three things that need to be addressed. Tell them about the forces and how if we deal with the forces of evil appropriately, then less forces will be against us and evil will diminish tremendously and God will grow. And virtue will grow in the world. Light and form will grow in the world. And this is all good things. This is what you're hoping for. Let people know about it. Get active with them if you can. And on an individual creative level, come up with whatever answers and solutions you can develop. Okay? And realize that that festival goes on and on and on because the energies are pouring in then after that festival to achieve results for that year's, we'll call it, challenge. Okay? And if you make it through this challenge, assuming I'm right, remember, I'm giving you best of my knowledge and understanding about this. Assuming I'm right, then we can expect a better world a year from now. And we can expect that the things that I think of may be going awry toward the end of this year will be short-circuited and prevented from going over the edge. And things will not be as bad as they could get. But you also need to be prepared for the worst, hope for the best, and help everybody else do the same without being paranoid and with recognizing, with understanding, that there is evil, but it isn't as strong as evil thinks it is. Actually, evil has many weaknesses, many weaknesses. All right, so that would complete the process if we can get there, so to speak. And using some of the help that I'm giving tonight, maybe we can. Because if you know what the challenge is, that's pretty important. Now, why would I not mention challenges, although I've said it vaguely, in the past of Mount Holiness, the spiritual festival? The reason is that part of the process is figuring it out for yourself. But we reach a point with as many decades have gone by where people falling further and further out of this process further and further away from real spiritual festivals, that if I don't say it, it's likely not going to ever get thought of or done. So, using my own discretion, I'm not under anyone else's orders or instructions, I decided this would be a good time to reveal these things and see if by doing at least this minimal amount of effort and helping out, a helping hand for others, maybe it will work in a more, we'll say, spiritual way. That's why. And I hope. And if I'm wrong, you know what? It can't get much worse than it's been, so I think that this is the time when the Hail Mary may be a good time to throw right now. All right, so let's discuss some other practical issues that would be good to deal with in gaining consciousness during this period and then in the next festival to take right action and do right interaction. It would be good to be preparing for some, I'll call them minor disasters. Shortages of food are likely at this time, depending upon how the force issue resolves itself. If the darkness wins the force issue, there will be significant levels of restriction on food and maybe even sufficient water for some people. And that means you should probably stock up 6 months to a year's supply. It's hard to do for some people because they don't have the resources to do it, but you try to figure out some way of doing it. It's okay to do it with others as a group. Get together and do it. Now, should you do it because you're paranoid the world's going to end or something? Well, if the world's going to end, 6 months of your supply of food is not going to change the result. So, I mean, you know, you need to be very positive in this plan. I'm not suggesting that you somehow, you know, somehow plan out the rest of your life to live underground somewhere or something. First of all, it wouldn't do any good anyway. How could you be free and creative doing that? It would defeat, I mean, evil would win that way then. We wouldn't be doing anything. Okay. Next on the order of probably things to be concerned about is social networking of the sorts, not, I don't think, necessarily the way it's done with the Internet, but probably with people you know already, neighbors, friends, relatives, whoever you think you would be open to this message, and try to get people to recognize you're doing this to help grow God, not because you're paranoid or you want to have more than everybody else has and you're going to hoard it or whatever. It's because you want to grow God. And if you want to grow God, then that message will get through and people will respond in a very positive way. I also suggest that you learn, knowledge sometimes is helpful, that you learn a lot about being self-sufficient. Remember, part of this message is here is self-sufficiency. But with that ability to connect with others and build group consciousness at the same time. Very fascinating idea. Okay. Self-sufficiency requires that you basically learn how to operate with the group of people you do know and relying on yourself as well to both stay alive and stay active and conscious and creating more of God, and to be able to help others who are going to be failing at doing that at the same time. Don't think you're going to, you know, bury yourself, like I said, in a hole somewhere. Just the opposite. You may be extremely active in trying to charitably help as many people as possible, especially people who are trying to understand and who don't think there is evil and never will be, and are people who think evil is everywhere or whatever it might be, they may not be helpful. You may not be able to do anything for them, and they may not want your help anymore. But I think the important thing here is this question of self-sufficiency. Now, I know some people believe that the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. Well, that may be. That I'm not going to disagree or agree with that issue. Here's the point. The way to look at this is, if you believe that, fine, get saved, what could be wrong with still doing all the other things I'm suggesting for those folks who say, yeah, I accept Jesus Christ in my heart and mind. Well, okay, but I still eat, I still sleep, I still need water. Other people do too. I didn't see Jesus Christ going around all the neighborhoods giving people food. I mean, there was a time when Jesus Christ did give people food. He also said, teach them how to get their own food. Right? And that's Jesus Christ. Now, Christ consciousness to me is a totally different issue. And I firmly believe in Christ consciousness. Because the consciousness of Christ is what the last thing I just said. It's a much more profound thing than any single individual, even if you believe it to be the Son of God, is going to do something for you. Because that doesn't ring true to me. I don't think God saves people. God gives people the chance for them to save themselves and save others. And doing one is the other. If you don't want to save others, saving yourself is probably going to be doomed. All right. But that's my opinion. And that may not be the opinion of folks listening tonight, or some people. So when, and what is Christ consciousness? Christ consciousness is a lot of what I speak of on the show. It's even in the Christian Bible, but it isn't necessarily the anthropomorphic vision of Jesus Christ. It is the more greater teachings and consciousness that was exemplified in Christ. Interesting. All right, so what else can you do? What else can you do? Well, the process is infinite. Generally speaking, the more you have in resources, the more you should prepare to use some of those resources to eventually be of service to the world and to others who will not have resources on that inevitably. And someone's got to stay here and survive if this planet is to survive. If everybody leaves the physical realm and goes to the astral, Earth ceases to be a viable planet, and the people who are in the astral world will eventually leave the Earth totally and have to serve as a soul in another planet. When they get back to being their soul, they won't stay here if this planet were to become very bad. Now, let's say it becomes evil. The evil folk will stay. This sounds like Christian thought. Evil folks will stay. And the rest will leave Earth. But they may not come back. That's different. And they may have a totally different attitude as a soul than they did while they were physically alive. We as physical beings are tainted by the forces of the physical Earth. They're incredibly nasty and ubiquitous everywhere, and difficult for anybody here to deal with because we usually get illusioned. But when your soul, you regret the dying even of a wretched planet. I mean, it's a terrible thing. Planets are things of very unique role to play. The loss of any planet to evil is a terrible blow to the growth of God and to life itself. So we have that as our ultimate thought process. But while we're here in the physical world, it's so hard to keep that in mind when forces are growing, when things are falling apart, when governments are taking away freedom and creation, creativity, when they stamp on the rights of their citizens, when they make it so that we can't even literally be who we are, as souls. It's a great, great, terrible outcome. So we need to be looking for the ultimate, we'll say, guidepost. And that will be, however, and in whatever ways, you come to a conclusion of what God and who God is. And it needs to be the widest thing you can ever conceive of, not some narrow, narrow caricature. Because the narrow caricatures will not carry the day, and things get very bad. And in a crude way, maybe, that's the way the system is set up. You buy into the narrow and the unreal, and forces come and they crush you. In this world. This is the world we've chosen to be here as souls, to try to change that. But at the present time, that's the way things work, and it's not very friendly. I mean, it's hard to say, well, you get second, third, 50 chances. We do, really. We just don't notice them. And then when the foot drops and terrible things happen to people, we wonder, well, how can there be a God? Not recognizing that we're part of God, and we're here to help grow God, and God gives us the freedom to do that, but in that freedom, God can interfere with our choices, or we wouldn't have freedom. It's a tough, tough problem, because so many people want to be taken care of. They haven't gotten out of childhood. Most personalities, and most people run by their personality, not by their soul, not by their self, but by their personality, the subconscious part of it, don't grow much older than about 10 years old. And as a 10-year-old, they want the government to take care of them. They first want their parents to take care of them. Too long and for too much. Then they want the government to take care of them. For the rest of the time. And then they want also others, other people. They don't even know who people are to take care of. Or it isn't fair. You see, it's all about these issues of taking on the responsibility of being an individual and exercising your freedom to create. And if you don't get that when you're young, you won't live it when you're older. You look for some way out. And then there's always the cunning dark ones who say, well, I'll do it for you. You just work 70, 80, 90% of the time for me. And I'll do it for you. I'll take on that role. Don't you worry. You won't have to make any more choices. You just choose me. And I'll do it for you. Politicians have been doing this for ages. Remember, this is a time to awaken. Your consciousness needs awakening right now. Next 24 hours. Big deal. Big, big deal. Because as a spiritual festival goes, this is probably the most critical one. This is the one that we may make or break. this world. Boy, does that sound scary. And even if we fail, we still can succeed later, but it will be much more difficult. So why not do all you can right now and get others to do the same? It can be done. Okay, let me finish this show with these ideas. Because I really didn't go as much into the pragmatic issues as I usually do. Because the concepts are so big to understand this. For each person, in order to reach a point where they're going to be able to make most use of the spiritual energies that they're bringing about through these festivals, and especially maybe in the next day or so, it is critical to provide yourself with some time to meditate and then to take action. Meditation, action. Don't just meditate, but then take some action on the meditation. Meditation is confined, so to speak, to time zones. Reflective meditation deals with the past. Okay? That means you're going to think about things you've done before and how you could change those. But first, recognize all the things that have not been going right because of your own lack of choices, wrong choices, fears, illusions about your right of freedoms, and also the will to take action instead of inaction. Then the other part of meditation is a part of being who and what you are at the moment. To say to yourself, in order to genuinely be me, I must be something greater than me now. Because me as I have been has weaknesses and terrible things. And me as I want to be is still in the fantasy stage. But me as I am right now, that's really what I have to take account of. So you need to do that in a sort of meditative state where you recognize I am the soul am I. And that you're going to see yourself right now as the soul, right now as this great being, far beyond the foibles of the human that still lurks within you. And then finally, you want to do contemplative meditation. And contemplative meditation is where you look into the future and see the areas that you might fail in, and how you can succeed and help others do the same and get help from them to help you. All in a contemplative state. That's what I suggest you use this time the next day to do. And then, finally, follow up when you're done with all that, if you can get it all done, and see if you can sense the spiritual energies greater within yourself and around yourself. If you can, you're on the right track. Then move to the next thing, which is to take action. What are the actions? Well, we know there's three main areas that you need to inform other people about. You need to change your own life in various ways. I gave you some examples. I didn't go very deep into them. I don't have time in tonight's show to do that. But carry through with those. Look for ways of learning more about how you can take actions, and then carry through with those as well. Ask others to help you. Get together with others who are doing the same thing. People of like mind work better together. That doesn't mean you should ignore people who disagree with you. You just may not have a lot of time to spend arguing with them. You may just say, well, look, I hear what you want to do, and it's very different. Good luck to you. I hope it all works for you. And we'll stay in touch, but I've got to get on to these other things right now. Be as alert as possible to the help that other people need, just as you do need. Be more sensitive to the needs of others than your own, because they're one and the same. You're not going to survive a bunker underground. You're going to survive as an active member of all working together to build a planet without darkness and evil eventually on it, a sacred planet. That is your goal. Your goal is to create God everywhere and virtue everywhere and make that your credo. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it with others. I'm not going to do it alone. And no, I'm not going to sit in a closet somewhere and just meditate either. I'm going to meditate when appropriate, and then I'm going to use that as a tool to achieve these other things. It's very important to take action, because if you don't take action, if you, after you do the meditative period, you create negative karma. Isn't that hard to understand? Because you've used some of the spiritual energies in the meditative process, but now you're not willing to do anything about it. Well, that's bad news. That brings bad karma. Who knows what kind of illness you might create for yourself or some kind of life crisis or whatever. It's not good. It might be better to do nothing than that. You know, too many people say, well, we're going to our full moon meditation, and it happens to be on the Waysock, because that'll be really cool. And then right after that, we're going to a baseball game, and right after that, we're going to forget about everything we did. But it should be a lot of fun while we're doing it. Don't do those things. Bad karma could come from that. Because the more you become inactive, when you have increased your understanding, the worse the consequences. Everybody says, well, I want heightened consciousness. I want a bigger consciousness. Well, there's a cost in that. If you're more conscious, you have to become more loving, which is more giving in a wise way. And if you don't, if you give in a foolish way, or you don't give at all, you got bad, bad karma. Yeah. Too many people I talk to get caught in this crazy trap. And then they, foolishly maybe, ask me, well, what can I do about all the bad things going on in my life? Oh, well, maybe you should figure out to stop doing all the bad things you're doing right now, which are going to create more bad things tomorrow. Yeah, we're running out of time. Anyway, I hope this has enlightened you about the spiritual festivals and spiritual energies. I would have liked to have done this in two shows to put all this together, but that's very hard to do anyway, because you may not listen next time. You might be busy. All right, so we're out of time for right now. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for...